golf guys are here. So I love seeing you guys cross over. It's nice. You know, it's a change of pace in my morning. I get hugs from you guys, which is different from Ailish and Justin. They never hug me. So that sucks.
I always tough.
I love a hug.
So. Yeah, you're a big hug guy.
I can start giving you more hugs, man.
Yeah, it's true. I just realized how short I am in here right now. That everyone is 6'4" and
a lot up. A lot of snuggling into our bosoms when we hug you.
A lot of me hoisting my chair as high as it goes right now.
Yeah, I went down low to make sure you look tall.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
No problem.
I appreciate
your milk crate over
actually,
there for
I do
you.
Have I do have a long torso.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's what they all say.
No, I got a long torso, short legs.
Yeah.
Long torso, short.
Yeah.
Is that really it? Is that a short guy line?
I have heard that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, just every part of my body is long.
Yeah, you're gangly. You're a gangly guy.
Just neck, legs, arms, everything.
There's a reason. Why, when we're hanging out, you're the one who's stubbing his toes and hitting his arms and stuff off things. The amount of times I've seen Sammy nail his elbow on something and then look at you like, infinite. Yeah. You guys did on your show today. I actually am stealing two things from your show.
Uh-oh.
So, well, one is what you just asked me right now.
Oh, about Connor Bedard and Leon Draisaitl?
Yeah.
We just had this because he signed his entry level. So we were like doing the Bill Simmons trade value thing.
Yeah.
And then we got into the debate whether they would trade Connor Bedard for Leon Draisaitl straight up.
Yeah, 0% chance.
That the Oilers do it.
No, neither team does it.
Yeah, I think, no, you're right.
They neither don't. Team does
no.
it. Because if you're Chicago, you're not selling we're trying to be good. No. You're trying to sell hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you're right.
I think Oilers more
Oilers
so don't
think
do
about it. You guys are way too quick to say Oilers don't do it. I'm not saying they for sure do it by any means, but that's a meeting at
Draisaitl
the very
has
least.
2 years left on his contract.
It's a meeting.
Yeah, they
you
don't
get
do
the Connors?
The Connors.
No, but it doesn't matter because you're trying to win right now.
And Ken Holland is like his retirement year. He's like, I'm trading my best player in the playoffs
I was
for Connor
Bedard.
Could
Bedard. You imagine what it would be like when they had to go tell McDavid that happened?
Not good.
They're like, hey, are you busy?
You think I'm knock, knock? You think I'm grumpy at 5:55 in the morning?
Grumpy. They're not doing anything that would ever shake the boat with McDavid. Especially this is a guy who left $1 million a year on the table when he signed his contract extension because he cares about winning hockey. You know?
Imagine.
He's not trying to be the richest guy. I know. He went, you know what? I want to win on his first deal and went, yeah. And actually also I'll sign the 8-year banger. I'll make sure that I'm here for a long time and I'll take less because I want to win championships. And then,
not
you know,
contract negotiations. He wants to win Cubs, not contract negotiations.
I know. That must be crazy. That's what we have here.
Yeah,
it's
like, great.
Who wins?
The contract negotiation.
I know. What's crazy is that we've had this now for so long that there's genuinely a generation of Leaf fans who are deeply invested in the players winning their contract
for
negotiations.
That's our
guys. Guys who are like, Willie, you told me he's over 10?
Yes.
Give him the 10.
I'm just telling you to take less. I don't care what he's worth. Yeah. That's what
it's
I'm telling you.
It's so sad.
It's the
so
saddest
true.
Thing, man.
I told you he was worth 10.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he's better than this guy. So why does he deserve more? You're like, you know that Nylander's not giving you any of that money,
I'm tired, man. Can you just sign for 8-8 for 8 and just be done with it?
Man, I got to tell you, too, there's a bit of growing frustration with me, too, with the no Matthews extension.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like,
a bit?
Well, here's the thing. Nylander's dominating the news cycle, and rightfully so, because his is worse.
Yes.
This is a guy who sat out half a season and... Ugh, anyway.
Golf!
No, we're going to talk golf in 1 second.
Please, golf.
It went, we're all sitting on those reports. Like, it was like Elliot who went, hey, it's going to get done.
Basically done.
Yeah, it's basically done. Hey, we're not talking about it. It's just between, you know, what, how long it's going to be.
And the
like,
money.
Right,
but other than that, it's all straightened out.
I know. And now we're just sitting here and it's, hey, so July... is we're on the back
almost done.
Was the deadline August 1st?
Yeah.
Like, that's when he could sign, right?
And if you're talking about setting the culture, this is the thing that pisses me off about the Matthews stuff, is he could so quickly put Nylander
in
his contractual place by going, I'm actually taking less than what I could and a significant chunk less than I could. I want to be here. Hey, buddy, do you want to be here? I'm making room for other guys. Mm-hmm. Let's try to make sure that we win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
That'd be sick. And instead,
awesome.
It's like...
So they're waiting to announce Matthews because they don't want to piss off Willie. It's like, oh my God.
I hate this so much. I hate it too.
I hate this so much.
It's crazy. I've said this before and I'll say it again, but this, like you, us three, like we grew up diehard Leaf fans who from salary cap forward have like Lindros player tees in our homes, you know, like it has not been exactly the greatest market coming for superstars that are in their prime. Right. Mm-mm. Like
finally
watch
them.
Jason Allison skate.
Yeah.
Watched him go and like, he'll get there.
He's still going.
Yeah, exactly. Just a
Has
few
he tried back and cheese yet?
There's,
just
yeah, there's a penalty shot that is still in progress from the year 2009.
Like, this is such a star. It's been a dry market for stars in the cap era. And yet fans of a certain age at this point are just in the mode of just go away.
Beat down.
Trade these guys for less than who they are. Because I just can't deal with the mental anguish of them fighting nickel and diming their general managers over, you know, an extra 500K. It's gotten to be too much.
It's just the salary cap's fault. Yeah, we would never have one of these conversations ever if there was no salary cap.
Yeah.
There's a luxury tax. Yeah, just, they would least pay just spend the most and it would just be done.
I will say, though, that, okay, sure. Guess who else has a salary cap? All the other teams. Guess what else? Timo Meier goes to New Jersey, of all places, for 5 minutes.
I've been on like, this Timo, take. It's like, why
he's like, yeah. Immediately done. Yeah. Don't worry about it, fellas. We're here. We got a good team. Let's try to win. Here, it's just for whatever different. Now we got Ryan O'Reilly out there going, it's different. It's different. I went, yeah. All right. Great. Okay. Thanks, man. You came here. We gave you the commercials. Everybody loved you. Everybody went down to Buffalo, rooted you on when you were down there.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about how it's different here. It's like, yeah, no, real.
Oh, playing for the Leafs is different?
Yeah, it was awful.
What a surprise.
Must have been horrific. Anyway.
Yeah, please.
Golf. Okay. So here's the other thing I'm stealing from you guys, which is, it's not even stealing from you guys, stealing from Adam Stanley.
Oh, the Steph Curry take?
So yeah, obviously Guns loves Rory McIlroy to the point where he's trying to raise his son right now, like Rory McIlroy. Like, remember that Rory golf commercial where Rory's out there as a little kid hitting balls in the rain, and he's like, go out there, we don't care, you're in the rain. Guns has his kid on that program. And like Guns is doing the thing that cat owners do, and they're like, Mr. Mischief wants his treats. Yeah. He's Guns is posting social media stuff where his son's like, oh, my son was badgering me to go to the range.
It's true.
Woke me up at the crack of dawn and said, Dad, Father, please take me to the driving range. I beg of you. So, yeah, no, you've worked yourself a nice little, you know, racket here. Oh, yeah. This is nice. So, obviously, Guns thinks everything Rory McIlroy does matters the most, even though no one cares about Rory McIlroy whatsoever. Like, he's pretty much irrelevant at this point. Like, win the Masters or it's nothing.
Rebuttal.
Just, no. I'm just going to let that go.
No, but it's fine. No, it's kind of true. Like, we want to see Rory win the Masters, and if he doesn't do that, it's kind of like, all right, yeah, whatever.
It's just the guy we talk about all the time, but no one cares.
But the Scottish Open, like, come on. Let's be real here.
In the general, you know, lexicon of non-golf people, the Scottish Open could not matter less.
No, exactly.
For sure.
Okay, so
I'm not going to tell you this.
So I'm not even going to debate the idea of Steph Curry's shot versus that win, because to me it's not even comparable. Like, we can just go to social media and look at what Steph Curry did. And I made this point yesterday because I was building off of your guys' thing, is that if you see Steph Curry do that, you're thinking, like, man, that looks so fun. That looks so fun, what just happened with him, the running up and down the course and everybody celebrating it. Just makes golf feel more accessible when guys like that are involved. Mm-hmm. And it brings in a new audience. And to me, that's why it's bigger for golf than Rory winning the Scottish. It's not more important to the game of golf. Duh, that's Rory. But it is bigger in terms of exposure. My question is there anyone that could win the Open where it will be bigger for golf than the Steph Curry shot?
Maybe Ricky Fowler.
No.
Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, he's one of the most popular guys over a full generation of young people. Like, he's the young people's golfer, and he's had this, like, renaissance over the last year where he's been one of the better players on tour. He was in the final pairing of the U.S. Open. Like, if Ricky Fowler won the Open, won his first major, that would be a massive story for golf and a whole generation of fans that love him. Remember him coming up with the puka shells and the hair, and, like, the orange. And, like, he was beloved by kids, and we had to watch him hit crappy golf shots for forever. 5 years because of people still thought other people cared about him, right? Like, he is a massively relevant guy to a certain fan base of golf, like maybe a little bit of crossover with Steph fans, like that age group of people.
Yep.
Like, I really do feel like that would probably be the only one. Like, I really do.
The only thing I can think of, and I don't think this would have the crossover or anything like that, is a, like, aging star gets it done again. Like, the if Phil Mickelson, which is not going to happen, but if he goes and wins another major after we already did the victory lap, like, look at this guy, ripped out Kepka's throat, the guy who can, and we just had that victory lap 2 years ago. If he does it again, you throw in all the live stuff the past couple of years, I think that maybe that does it. But honestly, no. Like, I roll my eyes at the Steph Curry's thing. I still don't actually believe that somebody who doesn't care about golf sees Steph Curry running around like an idiot going, oh my God, I better go like sign an up idiot to play right
not
now.
Not triggered at all.
No, right, not remotely.
I think, like an idiot.
Well, he is running around like an idiot. What, you never hit a good golf shot in your life before? My goodness, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, that's, you're right. Like, it definitely draws eyeballs in. I just don't think it actually converts those eyeballs into anything other than cool.
Yeah, maybe. I think some people would want to play golf after seeing something like that. Like, you see a cool moment, and I think you want to be a part of a cool moment. And what I will say about Steph, too, is that he has such a huge influence over such a large portion of now, I guess.
Pied Piper, for sure.
Like a growing, an aging group of kids, right? Yeah. Now, those little kids that you saw in Steph Curry jerseys are now like college kids in Steph Curry jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Happened really fast and scary.
I do think that he has the kind of influence where kids would go, I want to play golf like Steph, too. I like doing stuff that Steph does. Whereas I'm not sure anybody has it in golf right now. And the reason why, so I'm bringing this up because we can all agree that the top of the leaderboard in basically every tournament now is pretty hot.
Hot.
Like, I almost hate when golf guys are like, dude, look at the leaderboard. It's hot. It's like, yeah, man, there's 20 guys on tour right now who are really good, right? And there's a core group of guys, and one of those guys or two of those guys almost always is somewhere in the mix. And so if you see a Scottie Scheffler and he's three back and he's heading into Saturday, you're going, hey, he's alive in this tournament. You have to acknowledge it. And you go, yeah, he's one of the best guys. But I wonder if we're kind of hitting a little bit of a wall with this where people are over that idea of, hey, it's these group of guys, the top dudes. It's a bunch of other guys that are right below them, right? The Xander Schauffele's of the world, the Cantlay's of the world, right? The like next tier down dudes where they're there, they're around it. Their names we recognize. If it's kind of time where golf is really hoping that a guy like starts to play a little bit of dominance. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that if I was making the case for anybody to win this thing and anyone that would actually move the needle the most, for me, it was Kepka. Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. Kepka can go do this again and all of a sudden he's the majors player that shows up and had a competitive Masters and just kind of starts to rip off some wins. Maybe now we have a little bit more interest as that lead dog front runner type. Cause Scottie Scheffler's too quiet.
No,
he's too much of a quiet robot. Like, you know, the Lord loving
we say
sweet
he has resting America face.
Yeah, he is. He's just not a compelling figure. He has to be overtly dominant for me to give one little remote care about him.
That's always been the problem with him. You look at all the other guys. I mean, even a guy like Max Homa, who doesn't have anywhere near the resume, it's like even he's got more juice than a guy like Scheffler does. And that's not just because of the Netflix show. That's because of everything he's kind of done on his own there.
He just seems so cool. Like, you want to hang out. If you had to pick a golfer on tour right now, hang out.
He's on all the podcasts. Yeah, exactly. Really good.
And he gets it. Right? Yeah. Like, he totally gets it.
Yeah. That's the problem with Scheffler is nobody's ever cared less or gotten it less than Scottie Scheffler. It's like he's an amazing golfer. Every time he's in the mix, guys like me and McKee are like, this is going to be great because he's not going to go away. But it's the least sexy thing you've ever seen in your life. Like,
if he wins, are you going to get a quote more than, I'm very excited for me and my family? I just want to thank the Lord for blessing me this opportunity.
Actually, you go print that in the Telegram right now.
Those sports, like the fake sports quote boards?
Yeah.
You could put that one out right now. That's actually accurate.
Yeah. Deadly accurate. I think I nailed that one. I could basically be ChatGPT for Scottie Scheffler goals. You could just come to me and I'd figure it out. I would get it done.
No, I think Kepka's a good one too.
Kepka's
like,
good.
He's like kind of a crossover
he has the
guy as well.
Crossover,
Where people, he's just, you know, he's on the LIV Tour and he's coming over and playing in the PGA Tour events, and he's like, he's just relevant in terms of for non golf fans. I think he's relevant too. So
I think
Ricky and him are the two guys that I think would cross over.
It's crazy to see what Ricky's odds are.
Oh, it's absurd. If you bet that, you are a madman.
He's plus 1,900.
Honestly,
he's the same as Kepka.
A year ago, he would have been plus 225. It's ridiculous how much his odds have gone up. He's playing great. He's going to be on the Ryder Cup team. Like, he has had an excellent season. But man, like that's a those are really, really short odds to bet on Ricky Fowler at.
It's just wild to see him at +1900 and then also Victor Hovland and Brooks Koepka. Mm-hmm.
That's always the thing when you're looking at major betting. There's always a few guys in that neighborhood, and there's always going to be somebody who's boosted up there. Like, if we're just being realistic about his chances, he should probably be two or three kind of groups below that, but because of name recognition, because he just won one, it's going to
be there. Okay, so I mentioned it, right? Like, there's that group of guys, and we all know who the players are at this point, like, who people will say that's a sexy name on the leaderboard, right? It's, like, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, DJ... I guess we can still throw DeChambeau in there, right?
Yeah, but he will not win a...
No. But I'm just saying, Koepka, Hovland, Rahm, Scheffler, Rory. And that's what... Like, all those guys are just... This is what I'm saying about the same thing. Mm-hmm. All those guys, to me, are just so similar. No? Like...
Say the names again?
I'm not going to go through, like, every single one, but it's just... You get my point of just... None of those guys really seems to be sticking out as much. And Rory was a little bit, but now there's the weirdness where, like, I like teasing you about it.
Yeah, I know
you
do.
But it's like the Rory haters have gone too far hating him because the Rory lovers have gone too far defending him. And he keeps saying these ridiculous things like he would retire before playing with Liv.
But isn't that what everybody wanted him to say? Like, you wanted him to have the stake. I said it. I came on after the Canadian Open, and you said, what did you want him to say? And I'm like, well, I mean, if he wanted to be real about it, he could have snapped every club in his bag over his leg. And then he said that exact thing. I do still
that
think
that has massive freezing cold takes potential.
Yeah, it does.
That quote, it's like, oh, here's $1 billion for a team. Roy's like, oh, I guess I won't retire then.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I was going to retire. I was right there. And then Tiger came.
I understand that everyone's been through it with the stops and starts with Rory finally getting his major. But if he breaks through and actually wins it, that is going to feel like a massive sports story. That's not just going to be a golf story. That will. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it now because we've done the thing where we get ourselves all hot and bothered and then it fades out. But if it actually comes to fruition, the home of golf, the oldest, all that stuff, it's going to feel like a bigger thing than just one of those guys winning.
What was it? Was it like 2019 where Rory was red hot going into the Masters and he nailed that putt to win a tournament and we all went, he's going to do it.
We've seen this movie a million times.
Yeah, I was going to say. So I don't really believe in the momentum thing, but
I'm not selling you on it because of momentum. I'm not even sitting saying he's going to win.
If you're a Rory fan, you would have rather him not win on last weekend.
What I was going to say is, obviously I'm with you on the Rory thing, and it would be a massive story. If he's there and he's actually making it happen, and it's, you know, we're a year removed from the last Open where he was right there too, and he was in the mix, and it was at the peak of the Liv stuff, and we had the Netflix special, and he said, bleep Phil, and we went, whoa, spicy Rory. No, but really, if he's in the news for this Liv stuff, I think that kicks up what is their involvement with golf a little bit more. We're having more of a referendum of what it's going to look like moving forward. Yep. It's a little bit more juice to stay away from whatever it is that those guys are going to try to impose on the PGA. So I do think, like, do we agree that Rory winning would be the biggest story? Or is that, because that's my follow-up to you guys, is what is the biggest potential story?
I think it's Rory because it's more than just the culmination of it. It's the kind of scar tissue that we've been talking about for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. The only guy that we've talked about that I think would change anything is Koepka, because he immediately, I mean, he's already done it once this year. He's vaulted right back into big boy status. That would put him at 6 career majors, which is an absurd number and gets you into a truly elite club. Mm-hmm. So I think the only guy is Koepka that can even kind of push it. And I could be talked into it being bigger, but I do still think the biggest thing would be Rory.
I think there's no story. Like, he is the number one story in golf at all times. I think he's kind of taken that mantle in terms of the following from Tiger. Like, it's just, he's the story. He's the story. If he wins, it's the biggest story. I mean, if he's in the final pair and he loses, it's the biggest story. Like, everything revolves around Rory, no question.
Okay, so, you know, I love these because this is the casual golf guy coming and pitching. But this is my other pitch. As I've already gone over Brooks.
You're pitching me to bet Rory at +700.
No. I'm not. These are not bets. I'm not into the betting portion yet. My question here, the follow up is, what about Colin Morikawa? Because this is a minority golfer. I mentioned, like, everyone being the same.
Two Scheffler.
But not just that though. Is like, I look at his odds. He's +3400, and this guy was at one point supposed to sort of be one of the successors at the very, very top, one of the guys that was supposed to be the future face of golf. I remember, again, if we're looking at that Netflix series, when he won, the whole story around him is, hey, no, this guy has the potential to be the next dominant guy in the game of golf. And I feel like that's gone away a little bit. So what is happening?
Well, I think part of it is that, and he won two of them, so you have to give him credit for it.
Right.
But part of it is he won a fake major on one of the majors came with no crowd there. It was a COVID major.
So no, those are all fake majors.
You have 100%, to take a little bit away from that. And then the other part of it is that he just has a lot of that Scottie Scheffler to him. They showed him on the Netflix show.
Oh my God.
And the most exciting thing you could possibly get out of him is like, I don't want to wear this shirt. And then guess what? Oh, shocker. TaylorMade and Adidas got their way and he wore the shirt that he said he was never going to wear. Okay. That was the most exciting thing that came out of it. He just has way too much golfer in him. There is not an exciting bone in his body. He has the game to be that guy. He is as good an iron player as you'll see on tour, but that's for me. That's for McKee. That's for golf nerds. The idea that you're going to see something, it's like the most exciting thing Morikawa has ever done, other than hate the shirt, is call it the British Open to their face after winning the thing a couple of years ago. So I think it'd be very good for the golf sphere. I think that'd be awesome to have him re-inject himself in there, but I don't know crossover-wise that it would kind of carry anyway.
No, it's just all the other top like 20 guys that are ranked for this tournament. It's all like the same white guys.
Yep, totally. Yeah.
Like,
welcome to golf, bud.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just
Tiger is not walking through that door.
My point is just with him. I'm like, yeah. How many guys are not the boring Scottie Scheffler type? Like, I think that Brooks Koepka is interesting. Like, he's just a bit of a spaz, and he's in love with himself.
We were talking about there's a possibility he murders one of his playing partners the first 2 days with like the two slowest guys in the earth.
Dude, this is gonna sound so dumb, but even the stuff where he like dyes his hair and walks, and he does the goes to Florida Panthers games and holds up the pylon.
Yeah.
Like, he's really not afraid of standing out. Right.
The thing is, he just seems like a normal guy you could be buds with.
A person,
as opposed to a
I don't think I could be buds with him.
I'm sure you could.
I think he would wear you down.
Pretty aggro.
Yeah, I think here's what I can guarantee.
You're telling us a lot about yourself. Have you been buds with the mirror before?
No, dude. No. How dare you? I think day one, hanging out with Brooks.
At a Peas game?
Yeah, hanging out where he's, you know, paying for everything, and he's just the man, and he's a big presence. You'd be like, this is the best. I love Brooks. I think day two,
you're already done.
You'd start to be like,
okay
man.
Settle down. Right,
yeah.
You got any more of that hair dye poking around?
Yeah, I was like... Because I was going to say, who's the other compelling figures? Because I would think that, like, I kind of like Justin Thomas just because he's a bit of a crybaby whiner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he'll let the crybaby whiner in him out.
Big time.
Even last at the Masters where he was walking around and he was mic'd up.
Yeah. Oh, he's had fans ejected for yelling stuff at him before. Just,
but I don't mind it, right? Like, I don't mind that he's the one big crybaby whiner on tour. And,
Rom's a huge crybaby whiner, too.
I've never really seen that.
What? Oh, no, the difference is he's not a crybaby. He wants to punch you in the face because he's upset about
whines,
something.
Yeah. Like, I've
seen him mad.
Did you see that video that came out? I think it was at the U.S. Open.
Punching the sign?
No, where the guy was like narrating. Like, he came up to, he's like, Rom, right. He's in the rough here.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's annoying. It's stupid. And like, he turns around and he's like, would you shut the... Huh? Yeah. Just like looks at him, just like tells him to shut the
hell up. It's
just like incredible.
I think that's a spaz more than a crybaby.
He's a definite spaz. Like, but I mean, like a spaz is a crybaby's.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of.
It's very similar.
No, they're
different
definitely
flavors.
Buddy, they're definitely connected. I just mean with JT, he has the waste management thing where he's like, it's too loud here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the Masters just now, when they had him mic'd up, the entire time he was just complaining about the conditions and he was like, this is too hard. And he's taking his slips from his drink, just getting mad, throwing. Yeah, he's a sour guy. Yeah, you can tell when things aren't going his way, he is in a sour, pissy mood.
Big time.
And so I don't mind that about him.
Oh, the guy who's a third generation PGA pro
went to Alabama.
I'm shocked.
Get my cousin's husband's take, who's a Florida Gators alum. He's like, oh, shocker, Alabama guy whining like that on tour all the time. It's like, it's a rep.
Phenomenal.
It's a reputation.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the other one, though. Is like, so who's the compelling figure other than Homa? Because we can't say Homa.
Nope.
We get
Hovland.
It. Homa.
Hovland
is?
Hovland would compel, yeah.
Okay. But give me the Hovland case, then, for why he's compelling.
Because he's had a good year. He's an affable guy. Great smile.
However
great
we
player.
Feel about Morikawa's game, him and Morikawa were talked about the exact same way leading into that, and Hovland's been the guy who's actually showed it lately.
Way more personality.
Yeah.
He's just a better talker.
They put him in dumb shirts and asked him about it, and he says, it's a dumb shirt. It's not what I wear, but they're paying me, so what do you want?
No, I think Hovland's a really compelling guy. Obviously, Rom.
Yeah.
Camp Smith, super compelling.
Camp Smith would immediately kind of jump back to where he was when he tucked his tail between his legs and ran home with his clear jug.
And I think, but when Camp Smith won, it was such a lame, moment, right? Because he won and he was going to live and they were asking him questions. Exactly. And it just, I don't know. I've never, the Cam Smith stuff never resonated with me. When he first showed up and he looked different and he had the handlebar in the hair and I went, oh, who's this guy? This guy's kind of cool. Yeah. He's, you know, like just a nice player.
Yeah.
And then that thing happened, and it kind of felt like he petered off in terms of the interest level.
And two other guys I'll throw in there. You always have to throw in Spieth because so many people care about Spieth.
They all do.
And
America's baby.
Very, very important to a lot of people in America for some reason. And Shane Lowry.
Well, it's because
and Shane Lowry, who is like the number one beauty on tour, who plays well at this tournament and won it a few years ago, one of the more memorable wins.
Held on to the jug forever because they didn't have it because of COVID. So he had to keep for like 3 years.
Yeah, it was in 2019 he won it. Yeah. So he got to do that big walk and he's the man. Yeah. So and everyone loves him and so that guy compels.
He's just again just
a big Irish lad.
Just a big Irish guy with a beard. Just impossible. He looks like he's read a Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
But he has like he's a great player. All the guys like him. He's a great quote. Like he doesn't take himself too seriously, but he's a fierce competitor. He's a great player. I love him.
Yeah.
I'm putting a couple bucks on him this weekend.
Okay, so this is kind of where this is all leading to. Am I wrong to say this has been a bit of a quiet build-up to the Open this year?
I think it's fair to say. I feel like golf got super loud earlier on in the year, and then kind of ever since the agreement or framework of an agreement with LIV and PGA Tour, everybody's just been kind of in a weird, almost funk in the game. Like, it has been a very weird back half of the season,
I think the U.S. Open really stunted the momentum too of the season because it was like at a weird course that not a lot of people loved, and Wyndham Clark beat Rory and Ricky.
Yeah.
It just kind of, you know, it kind of petered out the momentum. Clark. Yeah, like Wyndham Clark. Is there a more golf white guy name than Wyndham Clark ever?
No, I was going to say he actually just sounds like the club pro who's like, and we have a club pro, Wyndham Clark, and he just knew the course. Yeah. He's like, I beat these guys one day. And that's his one story. Yeah. Not a lot of Wyndham Clark buzz going into the Open.
We did play well at the Scottish Open.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any people going, you know what you want to do is bet Wyndham Clark.
No, you don't want to do
Let's get some Wyndham Clark bets in here. Okay, so then let's do that now. All right, make the case for who you're betting. You can give me... If you have it, I didn't ask you properly this.
No, I looked at it. I'm betting with my heart.
Well, I was going to say, give me a two-parter, because I wouldn't mind it if you give me one that's like a realistic bet that you like, and then if there's like a long shot guy that you might play for like a top 10 or a top 5 finish, something like that.
I was wondering how long of a shot you were wanting.
Well, no, because I think that for me anyways, and we've talked about this a lot, like especially you and I, Sammy, is that with golf betting...
Wait till the weekend.
Yeah, it's just unless you're betting top 5, top 20, top 10 finishes, right? Or you're taking big long shots, then it usually doesn't make a lot of sense. Like if you want to bet Rory McIlroy, guess what? Plus 700 if he's going to be in the mix, you can probably get him around that number after a good Thursday, after a good Friday. Like he's not going to be, you know, minus 250 heading into Saturday. So you can probably wait on that number. Mm-hmm. Where it makes sense, I think, is kind of the tier of after the plus 1900 guys. Like once you get into Ty Hatton plus 2200, Schauffele plus 2400, like, you know, this tier of guys, the plus with a number 2 in front of it. That's where you start to get into it. Like Max Homa, plus 4,900.
I love that. Honestly,
JT, plus 4,900.
Quickly on Homa. Yeah. This is a guy who we spent the entirety of the lead up to the U.S. Open talking about how this guy was not only ready to win a major, ready to win a major this year, and he was going to win the U.S. Open. It was in his home, not his home course, but right in his own neighborhood.
He had the course record there.
Could not handle it.
Yeah.
Did not perform well. And I think that Homa is the perfect personality. He's showing it in his ability to bounce back since. And also with Lynx Golf, you need a guy who is not going to get squirrely when things don't go well. And they're not going to go well for everybody out there. So as far as long shots go, 49-1 for Homa, that I actually do love. I'm not saying go crazy on it like it's a long shot to win a golf tournament. But I do like Homa as a long shot.
Same odds as Wyndham Clark, by the way.
Let me tell you who's going to finish better. I'd take him in a head-to-head right now, that's for sure.
I wonder if you can actually get that one.
I think if you're looking down and even further,
you actually can. Best head-to-head, Wyndham Clark versus Max Homa. Max Homa minus 105, Wyndham Clark minus 125. So Homa is the slight dog. Is like the slight dog here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play. I'm gonna bet that. Let's do that. Guns bunk. Yes,
let's go.
Handshake. That's right there. Let's do that, sucker.
One of the bets I always love doing it at majors is the first round leader.
Yeah,
to try to hit one to have a bankroll for the rest of the weekend. It's always so fun. And Like, there, you get good numbers on him. Like, mm-hmm. the worst odds here is plus 1,900 for Scottie Scheffler. Like, plus 1,900 for Rory McIlroy. Like,
yeah, that's way better for that stuff. Yeah.
You can get a lot of big names. You just, it's obviously way harder to predict because mm-hmm. literally anyone could be leading after the first round. It's the first round of a major as opposed to, like, the weekend. But, like, there's great numbers for great players. Like, if you like, you know, like, Ricky Fowler, plus 2,900 if he has a hot start. Ramos,
you're
plus
2,200.
I am horny for Ricky.
Well, you are.
I shouldn't say I'm horny.
You are.
But, like, I don't necessarily want him to win, but I think he's playing well, and he could be leading after the first round for sure. I don't think he's going
to
win it.
I got to admit that I'm a sicko who roots against Ricky. Like, I don't want to see
that. It's been really funny that you painted me into this corner because I 100% root against him, too.
Yeah, okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, I kind of like having... this is where the sicko and same thing when we had David Price and he was ripping it up for the Red Sox and he started to go on his tear. Yep. I went, nah, I don't like this. I like having our one choker guy that we all agree is a choker, you know? Like, I like having that.
McKee made me talk about Clayton Kershaw being a choker just out of nowhere for 10 minutes.
That's one of my favorites.
So I know you're here for it.
He ended that.
No, he didn't.
You don't think so?
Oh, you mean he pitched in front of 10,000 people at Petco Park? That's, give me a break.
He's had other good performances in the
since?
Postseason. Yeah, I can't.
I think he's before dead now,
since?
Actually.
No way. Big Juan Soto
I'm
took
sorry
him deep twice.
I'm sorry
Matt Adams takes him deep
this.
All the time.
But, Sammy, you and I, this is definitely one of our tenant friendships in our, one of the things that makes us sport fan friends is that we do love the idea of having a choker and
you
a guy who's clutch. Yeah. I think it's so boring when people don't think that there's guys like that. When they say it's just the small sample size of playoffs for chokers, it's like, no, it's not. Some guys don't have that dog in them.
Like Rory at majors.
Yeah. Still the best was when Paul Pierce basically buried the rafters with that quote. They don't have it.
Factor. Oh. Never been more right about anything.
I know. It was just our most hated guy stood up in front of everyone.
I am not projecting my anger at this very true criticism of IT.
He has kicked this market in the teeth. God, that one stung.
Off of your first round leaders, I actually kind of like the idea of a second round leader because I was looking at the weather going to stay pretty consistent for the first 2 days, so you're not going to get some guy who's going to get a bad end of it.
Love
and on a similar
talk.
Vein, you get Cam Smith at 19-1, Hovland 22-1, Hatton at 24-1. So you need guys to string together a couple of good rounds. And again, with the fact that it doesn't look like one side of the draw is going to get a really big break as opposed to the other, those are just guys who I think you feel pretty confident in getting off to a good start.
Love that. I also love, this is a really non-fun bet, but you can bet that there will be no hole in one for plus 180. And it's like, it's a minus 250 favorite for yes and plus 180. There's a really short par three
there.
Yeah,
just changed one of the par threes.
So I think they're maybe thinking that it's going to be, but like hole in ones don't happen very often, especially on Lynx Golf. Like to me, plus 180 is a great number for no hole in one.
100% playing that. Yeah. And I do not think, here's especially why I love that bet. You can put down a decent chunk on that one, right? Like that can be a decent play because you said plus 180?
Plus 180, yeah.
Yeah. So you can put down a sizable thing on that.
Yep.
But it's just one of those things where you're not going to see it happen live when it happens.
No, the gut punch will not be live. Yeah, unless it's like on the final, it's like Michael Block style. Yeah, you're not seeing it live.
You're going to be sitting there.
You're gonna be like, we now go to Saturday.
Something magic happens. You're like, no!
You're going to be sitting there half into your Saturday major nap. And then all of a sudden... Boom, they're going to cut that into that.
That's kind of like Cousin Sal's no buzzer beater bet at the March Madness.
I did bet the no hole-in-one bet, though, at the Masters. So it was like, I do like the no hole-in-one bet. So you're dragging me into something that I already like.
Okay.
Okay, so these are the plays, then, that we have so far. Is Guns and I love the head-to-head of Wyndham Clark
and Max Homa.
And Max Homa. We're all over Max Homa. We also like the value of Max Homa at 49-1 to win this tournament right now. Like, that's one that we're going to grab. First round leader, you liked, what was it?
I was just throwing names out there, but I do like Ricky Fowler at 2,900.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler, 2,900. Yeah. Hey, guess what? I like how you're going to be rooting for him. You're going to place that bet for him to be like Sam is the true sycophant where he wants Ricky to be leading after day one to be the story and then collapse.
that is truly sick. Yeah. He's following him and he's in the gallery. He's like, Ricky, come on, Ricky. You can do it, Ricky. And then all of a sudden he flips. Yeah. You suck. You know, like that
you're
terrible.
That is a tough one. Any other bet?
I like, there's a couple on here I love. Like, I was looking through this, like, the top European, mm-hmm. you can get some decent value for Victor Hovland 9-1.
I was going
to
say, why are we not a little more Hovland? Because I was going to say,
well, I love Hovland. Yeah. I'm going to bet Hovland outright probably at 19-1. Like, I think Hovland's coming into his own here. He's played really well this year. He was in the, Was it the U.S. Open? No, the PGA Championship where his ball got stuck in the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in the mix. Connors, he's been in the mix a lot at majors. He's kind of due. He's like kind of, I wouldn't go as far as to say next up, but he's one of those kids that's been playing really well, and he's coming into his own, so I like him a lot. And I like the Euros at the Lynx Golf.
Yeah. Another one I like, you can get Koepka for a top 10 at plus 200.
Yeah.
That is just a guy that if he's mix, you want to be able to root for him. I love the idea of laying down a couple of top fives, a couple of top tens, just to make sure you have some investment at the tail end. And Koepka is as good a guy as any. Also, Hatton, again, plus 250 for a top 10. That seems really, really nice value there. The only thing with Hatton is, you know, he's crazy. So he has a propensity to blow up just as much as he has the ability to go low. But he played really well last week, too.
All I can tell you is there's only one guy that I will not take advice on. It's like Sammy has made me bet on Patrick Cantlay a bunch of times, and it's never.
I've never really bet on him.
You've hit me with a few Cantlays, and it's in the name.
That's
it's like
Justin
Cantlay,
Rose for me.
Cantlay money on this dude. He is a killer.
And like, I would never go as far as to say something, you know, is a lock. But Scottie Scheffler has been top 10 at like every tourney all year, and he's plus money to get a top 10, plus 100 to get top 10,
plus 175, top 5. Yeah,
like his last. He legitimately is in the top 5, top 10 every single
time. Yeah, I think you have to bet top 5 though if you do that.
That's the other thing about it, is that his putting can literally not get any worse. It has to improve.
Yeah.
That's just one of those ones, though, where, again, if you're sitting there, I'm like, I'd rather just wait until later in the tournament, and if he's around that area, bet him to win.
Grab him out.
Grab him out.
There's nothing wrong with that strategy.
Because for me, for betting a four-day tournament for a guy that's plus 100, you end up forgetting that. Here's the bets that you don't want to have on golf or on any sport. In as a matter of fact, is the bet where you're bored of it,
right?
Immediately,
yeah.
You know where you start and you're watching, and you've already sunk money into something, and you're like, I'm bored. This is it. I'm not sitting through 4 days of plus 100 at Scottie Scheffler to finish top 10.
That's fair.
Of course not. It's golf. I'm going to put down 100 bets on this tournament. Yeah. That's why I'm asking you guys. I'm like, more? Is there more?
Yeah.
Is there more stuff that I can write down?
No ace.
No ace. I love no ace. I'm so in on no ace. I can't wait to get that text too from Sammy. Although, I'm going to be traveling this weekend, so I'm going to end up missing actually a whole bunch of this.
Wow.
And West Coast too, which is nightmare for, you know, but anyway, it'll be all right. We'll get this thing done.
You're not watching any of this.
No.
West Coast? Buddy, that starts at like,
I know. What my only time that I'll end up actually having is, so I'm going to back-to-back shows in Seattle, Saturday, Sunday.
Have you seen NorthX?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so I'm going to wake up probably that Sunday morning completely crippled.
Oh, yeah.
Hurt. And I will be sitting there watching TV.
Few think of nurse men back to health better than golf.
Going and just sitting there being like, I made so many bad decisions. But I'll basically be looking at my bet slips and just like staring at
them. There's so much Ricky on here. Why?
Yeah, that's...
He's going to wake up. It's going to be a fog of orange. You're gonna be like, what happened?
I wish you could bet stuff like that, actually. That would be a good thing, is to bet someone's total... like over under their score each day. Like, how fun would it be to bet, like at the Masters, Rory to start horrifically and then to have his final round where it's like he shoots incredibly
low. You just love to bet over 70, under 63.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, but I'd like to do that with Ricky, where you could bet his, you know, under early in this tournament and then his over later. Yep. Same kind of thing.
For sure.
All right. How are you boys dealing with the mornings? You all right?
He is done.
I know he's done. See, this is your, like, guns. You're right in your element.
Yeah,
this is fine.
No, it's not good for me.
McKee's my best, but I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks.
I have to.
heard from the guy.
Because I am under the covers the whole day.
Nothing. Haven't seen him. Ghost. Went out with some buds on Friday. Shama, no. It was gonzo. Like, yeah, we were down the street. Nothing. Ghost.
He walked in the other day, and I didn't need, like... I know I can be a lot. This goes back to like high school hockey. I remember all my teammates being like, can you shut up? Yeah. It's 5:30 in the morning. We don't need this right now. Okay. So I have long been the guy who needs to dial it back. And I just said to him very calmly, like, hey, bud, he just snapped back. What time have you been here since? What time do you get in here in the morning?
That.
He's not handling well.
What a psycho.
Terrible.
He's
psycho.
Full John Rahm. Yeah. He's full snap show. Yeah.
Anyways, the golf guys who will have plenty more on this tournament over the next couple of days. Thanks for doing this, fellas. I appreciate you sticking
around. Always happy to do it. Thanks, bud.
All right, we'll see you later. All right, quick break. Let's come back. More takes from quarterback, but this time about the guys on the show.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right. So now I'm getting deeper into quarterback on Netflix because there was no Jays game again yesterday. Had some free time. Decided to delve deep. How many? I think Austin's the furthest. How many episodes have you watched of it, Austin?
All of it.
You've seen it all?
I've been on since Friday. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you
now explain
about?
Why.
Just ripped you.
Wait, what did he say?
No, he was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I thought you said he ripped me.
Oh, no. Poor choice of word.
Joe.
I know.
Loose definition of ripped.
Honestly, I was like, I'm losing it.
I thought he was going to go more into it, and then it just kind of faded.
So, Mackie's seen the whole thing.
Yep.
Have you started it?
Yeah, I did. I started it last night. I'm like an episode and a bit in, but I'm planning to watch. Hope to finish it within the next week.
Anyway, I'm not going to go deep on these takeaways. I will just say this. It's worth watching if you love football. Mm-hmm. And I said already, I like watching quarterback process, how it works. It definitely felt, it feels more, let's put it this way. It's definitely more full swing than it is Drive to Survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't a drama laden thing where stories are breaking. This is just an in-depth, hey, how do you look at how someone prepares to be the best at the sport?
Yeah.
How do they deal with all the different stuff? And look how much there is to do with this job. And they even kind of set it up that way because they have Peyton Manning to start, and he goes, there's no harder job than being an NFL quarterback. And you're like, yeah, right.
Maybe I'm a bit biased.
Yeah, and he just starts talking about that, and you're like, all right. But it is. It's incredible the amount of work that has to go in. I think that for someone as great as Patrick Mahomes, for you to get a behind-the-scenes look at the way he does things, mm-hmm. it's kind of must-watch for a football
fan. Special.
It's just, it's very, very cool to watch him do his thing. Mariota... It's just, he's, you know, it's weird to feel bad for a guy who's a multimillionaire, who's like a Heisman Trophy winner, but you do a little bit because it's his career teetering. And so you're seeing that play out. So if you like the drama element, that's,
I think his stuff is super interesting. Yeah. Just because of like the backstory of him and like where the season went for the Falcons.
He's having a child.
Here's the problem though. It would have been so much better as like a guy like Baker, who would be outwardly frustrated and angry and, you know, you could either root against or for whatever. Mariota is such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
as soon as he goes to Atlanta, one of the things is his wife and him. And his wife is just, like, very pregnant. And he's dealing with this new team. And she goes, one of our biggest things is we want to get involved in the community right away. And he's just there in a gym giving sneakers away to kids. He's at charity events. He's in children's hospitals. He's clearly, and he's not one of those... You wonder about it, guys, like Russell Wilson, where you're like, how much is this for you?
And then you
find out that his charity, that like none of the money goes to anybody. Yeah. He's just like, where does it actually go, Russ? Where's the money, Russell? Mariota's not doing it for the photo ops.
No, he's not.
He's not like Russ, the fraud.
Mr. Unlimited Money.
Ugh, yeah. Mr. Unlimited Stealing from the Poor.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just... It's just sad. Like, you're really rooting for the guy. Yeah. And I hate the Oregon Ducks. I despise the Oregon Ducks.
I hate the Falcons.
And,
and I'm rooting for them. Yeah.
Falcons, I got to say, when they wear those all-black jerseys, those
nice.
Are so nice.
They remind me of the Dirty Birds.
Oh,
stuff.
They're so they nasty. Nice. It's such a sick look. Like, I was kind of cheering for them in the dock going, why don't I like the Falcons? Bro, this is such a badass team. Especially since everybody else in your division has, like, pretty candy-ass jerseys. Saints are the second best. Falcons 1,
Saints, are
Saints
sick.
2.
Those, the all-white Saints
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, yeah. No, the all-white Saints is nice. Mm-hmm. The all-white Saints are nice.
Don't like the Panthers that much.
Panthers, no. I don't like it. Candy-ass and Bucks are the worst.
Bucks are the worst, really?
Yeah, Bucks suck.
Yeah, they stink.
No, the Bucks jerseys are awful.
Creamsicles are like cool, but just as a nostalgia thing. Like, that's
about
it.
Bucks are truly terrible.
The pewter and whatever.
I would say the Bucks might have the ugliest uniforms in...
Cardinals, easily.
No, I don't like Cardinals.
Cardinals are the worst. To me.
All right. It's just red and white. It's pretty classic.
Hate him. Like,
Cardinals. Hate him. Worst.
No, I just think that if I was doing a power rankings of worst, that one of the first ones I would think of is Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Ugly logo, ugly look. Nothing about it is redeeming. They have no redeeming qualities other than the pewter helmet.
Agree.
That's nice. But again, it's really hard to screw up helmets. You know?
Yeah,
helmet, it's just... The helmets are
color
nice.
Color logo,
it's
cool.
It's a cool feature.
The Jags screwed the helmet up.
Yeah, the
with
Jags
like
did.
The color grade.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. The Jags love that stuff, though. The Jags have a Jobo in the front office who just loves graphic design but sucks at it and just, really,
at yeah, it.
Just wants to grind
hey,
so hard. No, you're
no,
good at it.
Joe.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah. But, okay, so this is my number one thing, though. If you're a Vikings fan and you hated Kirk Cousins already, which you likely did, all this would make you do is hate him more.
Correct.
Now, he complains the entire game. So he's got some bruised ribs, and that's tough, right? Like, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I could not do what Kirk Cousins does, all right? So anybody's like, oh. He's hurt, not injured through a couple of these games. And his offensive line sucks, too. He gets hit quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, he just is constantly like, ow, oh God, oh. It's just the theatrics with him are through the roof. And then it's just like, he's got a bit of a temper. So his coach is sometimes trying to communicate with him and he's not overly receptive to those things. And then he's kind of, well, I'm dorky, so I must be nice. And but it feels passive aggressive. I don't think I've ever seen an athlete who I think I would get along with less and or who I would want to be teammates with less than Kirk Cousins. Like, I cannot believe it has lasted this long, given
really?
The portrayal of him behind the scenes. Mackey, again, is the zag king. He never agrees with anything. He always wants to take the opposite, the road less traveled. He's like Robert Frost. Don't worry about it. I already knew. You're defending Kirk Cousins, eh, Mackey?
Yeah, I don't. He does complain, yeah, but he's getting hit all the time. He's got bruised ribs. The team's not great.
Dude, he's the guy that's like,
dragging them to a division record comeback wins.
He calls that. They also reveal that he calls the quarterback sneak in the Bills game where he doesn't punch it in.
Mm.
And they try to call him on it, and he's like, no, I'm not hurt. And it's like, oh, so you're so hurt, but you wanted to be the one going for the glory on the quarterback sneak, and you decided to call it. And when your coach rings you up on it and he tells you, hey, I could have put you in a better position to succeed, he's like crybaby meltdown. He runs off to the side and he like smashes his helmet on the side. Like, he sucks, man.
See, but that to me is just him being a competitor, whereas like Marcus Mariota is so okay with being like not winning.
I know,
not,
Marcus.
Oh, that is just, true.
That's when, the difference between Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. I didn't have any sympathy for Mariota because... Dude, have some fire. Have some drive.
Yeah,
like,
he does
your
not
career on the
chill.
Line. Like, come on, man.
He's cool with where he's at.
Yeah, he's very cool with where he's at. Because he wants to win. Like, I respect that in him. I appreciate that about him.
Yeah, but I think if you want to win, and I will say this, Kirk Cousins is doing a lot of the stuff behind the scenes too, but no, I think if you want to win, though, you've got to figure out a way to not be a whiner as a leader. You just can't. And he's a whiner. He whines all of the footage of Kirk Cousins is just him whining. But you're right. Now that you say the Mariota thing, all I'm thinking of is when he throws picks, he does the, oh no.
Yeah.
He's always like, oh no.
It's like, Arthur Smith's like, come on,
and then
bro.
He's always
can we
like,
take some shots here?
I know. And then he's always like, that's on me whenever he fumbles a game away or whatever. And you're like, yeah, man. That was like the
first Mariota clip is when he fumbles it right off the
but
bat.
But I prefer my quarterback to care, have that fire, be a competitor, and maybe he can work on his leadership
Dude,
skills.
No question.
Yeah, but there's no doubt he wants to win.
I like a competitor. I like a leader. But I think in a tough guy sport, if you're constantly going, ow, ugh, it's like, how do you think Dalvin Cook is feeling? He's like, yeah, man. Oh, does it suck getting hit?
Yeah, every play.
Yeah. Oh, sucks getting hit, huh? Like, come on. It's just, it's too much. It's just every single time he's on, like, man, are you giving birth? Kirk Cousins, enough is enough. Anyway, we're going to do some other stuff in the podcast only portion of the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Throw out best bets. Another... I went 1 of 3. I threw out 3 yesterday. I'm livid about one of them, which was the first 5 under in the Mariners game, because my last 2 under bets, one on the Jays and now this one on the Mariners, both in the bottom of the final frame, getting busted in horrific ways. And there's just, and it was smooth sailing. Like, it was under 4.5. There was only 1 run. I'm just sitting there being like, yep, we're good. Like, this is, it's one of those games where you're not even really paying attention to it. Jays, I was. This one, I'm just like, no, all right, 2 for 3. This is not a bad night. We're fine.
Yeah.
And then final inning.
You see the first couple innings, you're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, no. And well, it's not even the first couple. It's like when you get into the bottom of the fifth.
That's true.
You're like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, we're 3 outs away here. We just need not 4 runs, and there's 4 runs. Anyways, I'll post best bets again tonight. I'll do some Jays stuff again this evening. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram, @JD Bunkus, and I'll post them there. Quick break for, well, no break for those of you that listen to the podcast. All right. It's just podcast time now. Watch, we're going to teleport right there. Subscribe and review. All right. So podcast portion. This, I didn't want to do this in the radio bit because I don't know. You don't know what's offensive today in today's day and age. So I gave all you guys your quarterback comps.
You did.
Yeah, yesterday over
last
text.
Last night in the group chat.
Yeah. Did you, like, before I reveal them to the audience, did anyone really feel as though theirs was unfair?
I am not surprised with mine.
Yeah.
I expected that one.
Yeah, Simon, who is a ginger, got Andy Dalton.
As soon as I was reading it, I saw Simon Dalton. I was like, no, you didn't do that.
He is. Like, he's
You're not wrong.
He's a ginger.
83-77-2 record, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Six games over 500. Yeah. Multiple playoff appearances.
And it's kind of like you say that when you're around, but most people look at it and they're like, I guess.
I mean, true.
Yeah, I guess so. It started because I was just making fun of Armin, because Armin's a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. And so you try to get him out of his shell a little bit, because I was just like, man, Kirk Cousins, he reminds me of you, Armin, complaining all the time. He never says anything. Like, you really have to try so hard to get, unless you talk basketball, and then Armin lights up and he wants to talk about everything.
And
I'm like, I don't care.
He just pops off immediately.
Armin makes me kind of hate basketball because he likes it so much. I grew up with two basketball coaches. I love basketball to death. And then Armin starts getting going on. I'm like, yeah.
You grew up with two, and then as soon as Armin says something, it's like, okay, we're done.
Well, it's ruined.
Like, kind of a selfish sport. So, yeah, Simon got the Andy Dalton label.
Three-time Pro Bowler, Andy Dalton.
Yeah. I think he was, I want to see those three Pro Bowls in terms of what level of alternate he was. Like, how many guys decided not to go to the Pro Bowl before Andy Dalton got to go?
What were his stats?
Let's take a look.
Mm-hmm. One of them was a 19 touchdowns, 17 interception season.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm sure everyone was available to go.
So that's a tough one. Yeah.
Surely everyone wasn't hurt that year.
Yeah. Jobo got Kyler because...
Not initially.
No, but because I was just teasing, making fun of Derek Carr. Because you're like, Derek Carr's there. And I was like, shut up, Derek Carr sucks. So do you. So you're Derek Carr. But, but no, you're Kyler Murray because you love video games. You want to be in front of a screen.
I'm sure.
You're youth. Yeah. No, you're at your average height.
Yeah. Taller than Kyler.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. And then, he's the fastest definitely on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, so that makes
certainly
sense.
Certainly not me. I'm out of the running.
Yeah, exactly. But... you do have to question how much work is getting done versus video games, you know?
I actually don't play video games that much anymore. I'm not even lying about that.
You're going to have to put a clause in his contract. Yeah.
I love that. He's like, I'm not even lying about that. It's like, let me see that average.
I knew you were going to say
let me see that average screen time, son.
Hey, I can pull out the stats.
I gave Mackey Baker Mayfield like a lot of promise, a lot of attitude, like way too much attitude for the skill level
Mackey
that's
Mayfield,
there.
Baby.
Yeah, like skill level to attitude, so completely out of whack, and also never his fault. This is the perfect comp. This is the perfect comp. And plus, it rolls off the tongue saying Mackey Mayfield.
Yeah, Mackey Mayfield.
Did you feel like that was an appropriate, accurate one?
No.
See, case in point.
He's the guy who give him yours, JD. But
here's the thing. I was screwing around. I was like, yeah, I'm Joe Burrow, right? Joe Cool. I show up. I'm just like, hey. It's cool. Joe's here. But no, I really want to ask you guys, who would you give me? Be real.
Cutler. Jay Cutler. I knew right away it's Jay Cutler.
He doesn't play anymore. He doesn't play. And Jay Cutler is like, he's a pretty cool guy.
Jay Cutler was a cool guy.
I know. That's like one of the coolest guys ever. Like,
the king of throwing off the back foot and just rifling a ball downfield.
60 yards.
Cutler was low key sick.
Yeah, I know. But I'm too prepared and methodical to be Cutler. I'd be a way like more time prep film guy. Like, I'm always in the lab.
You did say that was one of your favorite things about quarterback, is that you like watching the quarterbacks watch film and study it.
Yeah, but you guys also know me. I'm always working.
You are.
I'm always working.
You're always doing something.
So, and I don't think Jay Cutler was always working.
No, I don't think he was.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like why Austin came up with this one.
Jay it's Cutler?
Just
a bro, I guess?
Yeah, we have similar hair. We both do have cannons for arms. Actually, I have played a lot of intramural quarterback before.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And I would say that if I ever had a playing style, it's that I'm like Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington.
I'm really accurate. I've got a really pretty spiral, really nice ball.
Takes everything you got to get it 10 yards out.
Yeah, but it's just like, but my arm is...
Takes everything you got.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta do a crow hop, you know, to get it down the field. I got a soft arm. I hate it.
So you're Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington in terms of, that one.
Like your play style.
That was like my, if you ever did one, they'd be like Pennington. They would be like super accurate, nice, that's throws a nice ball, hits guys in stride, but struggles to hit the deep out.
I was looking at the years that Andy Dalton was a Pro Bowler. In 2012, he was competing with Brady, Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad. He was an alternate. Hey. So it wasn't even top three.
That's also good for me, I think. Certainly not top three on any list, but I'm an alternate.
2015, it was Breeze.
Honestly,
and Luck.
It's really a perfect description.
Yeah.
I think that if I actually had to power rank like the perfect rankings, it's definitely Mackie Mayfield one. Like the bluster, even there where he's like, Jay Cutler, he's just mad. He's just furious. He's just, in his own head. And it's like, why? He's like, I don't know. I'm Baker Mayfield.
You're a bro.
like, I'm just mad about stuff. I'm just going to blurt it out because I've got a lot of confidence. Short, you know, like undersized. It's just Mackie Mayfield. It's all about Mackie Mayfield. I'm obsessed with it. I would say get this man commercials too. I would love to see Mackie in commercials.
Could you imagine Austin and Baker?
Imagine
Austin and Baker in the same commercial together?
No.
That would be
Mackie. Okay.
Insane.
Let's remember that Hard Knocks. Remember that Hard Knocks where Baker Mayfield lives in a van?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Out of everyone on the show, most likely to live in a van. Mackie? He's not even looking at me right now.
He doesn't even
care.
He's
looking at his computer. Yeah, he sees Baker is mad. What do you disagree?
Yeah, I disagree. Obviously.
Most likely to live in a van, you disagree?
There's no room to disagree with
it. Might be Pete.
What are you talking about?
Most likely to live in a van on the show, you or anyone else?
Well, no, Joe, because he lives at home and he can't afford to live on his own.
Oh.
So,
no, but I'm saying because his sister
Mayfield is just throwing darts.
I'm saying because of the school bus, the Pete's sister, when he sent that in.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough look. My sister did the same thing, though. She did make a tiny home. Like her and her boyfriend at one point, and they were like, we're going to make this trailer into a tiny home and sell it. I think that there was like a little era of hippies where they thought they could make these tiny homes and sell them to other hippies, but then they realized that the other hippies don't have any money either, and they were all building tiny homes.
I had a brief period where I was like, oh, I might be a tiny home guy, and then I looked at dimensions and was like, I will fit in zero of these, so this is never happening.
What were you going to do with the tiny home, though?
I don't know, man.
Where are we going to put it?
Just live it in the woods.
That's what I mean. Like, I the tiny home thing
step away.
To me makes...
Disconnect.
No, yes.
Step away and disconnect.
Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden.
This guy. What, do you need to go to darkness retreat, too?
All right, let's keep it moving.
All right, so James Worthy was at an ESPYs party over the weekend, and he was asked about LeBron James and the potential of him getting a statue, and Worthy said that he's likely going to get one in Cleveland, and he could get one in L.A., but he doesn't think that he'd been there long enough. But he also noted that he broke the scoring record, which is a milestone, so he said there's a chance. But, you know, so what's the bar for getting a statue?
First of all, it's different based on every market, and I kind of think, like, James Worthy, this sounds like a hot take, but it's kind of a reasonable one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron got one chip in L.A., and it was the bubble chip, and, like...
He did break the scoring record. He's made a milestone.
But he didn't get the scoring record by grinding away years in L.A.
Yeah, not in L.A., yeah. You're right.
And he's never been, like... He's maybe had one season where he was nasty. What was the year when Giannis won MVP, and he was kind of crying about it being like... Was that 2019? No.
2019 was Harden, and Giannis were going at it.
But yeah, because I guess maybe it was the bubble season before it broke.
2021.
Yeah, but either way, there was a year where LeBron was like complaining about how he doesn't win enough MVPs when Giannis was clearly the favorite to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'd say. If you give LeBron James a statue and you're the Lakers, it's kind of like, yeah, that's fine. It's LeBron.
Yeah.
And for those reasons that they outlined is he won a championship. He'll have been there for at least five seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scoring record in a Lakers uniform. It's a cool thing that you can make the statue of him doing the fadeaway for that shot.
Yeah. That's true.
But it's also one where if they went, we're not going to give LeBron a statue, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see that. You got to remember, man, James Worthy's been around the organization. Like, he, as a kid, would have watched Laker greats.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would have joined the Lakers. He played with Magic Johnson, who was there for so long, Kareem so long. And I just... he's seen guys win multiple championships, and that's kind of the Lakers bar. That's one of the cool things about the Lakers. I'm so glad Armin's not here, is that the standard really isn't for their superstars to win one championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially not a bubble championship.
Because he's definitely getting one in Cleveland. There is absolutely no question.
But that's the thing. And he actually deserves one more in Miami. Yeah. Like, if you told me, hey, power rank the landing spots of LeBron's career where he deserves statues, I would go Cleveland 1, Miami 2, LA 3.
Give me a statue of the Miami alley-oop.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like,
and he will finish his career.
It's a complex
longer
statue.
I know. It's like,
that's true. It is. Statue.
He'll finish his career like longer as a Laker than a member of the Miami Heat, too. So, like, no, not their long enough part. I don't know. It's,
yeah, but again, multiple, like, two championships with Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right.
Like,
so it'd be for you, it'd be Cleveland 1, Miami 2, LA 3.
Yeah, no question.
Miami 2.
No question. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, what's the second part of this question?
That was the question. Like,
well,
what's
Toronto athletes?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any statueless Toronto athletes that you think deserve one or
every
will deserve
Raptor
one in the future?
Yeah, so.
First, so I was going to ask, because you were saying, like, the Lakers have a different bar, right? The bar for a statue is way higher.
The Raptors bar is in the bottom of the well.
So that's the thing. Do you think you just, like, should Lowry or DeRozan or whatever have a statue record?
Not DeRozan.
Lowry?
Yeah. Lowry and Kawhi. Yeah. Kawhi 100% deserves a statue for the shot.
The Sixer shot.
Yeah. It's just like, you give Kawhi a statue. Kawhi, okay, I know we love doing the whole, like, greatest Raptor, and we give Lowry the GOAT thing, and it's fine because he actually was on the championship-winning team, so there's a case to be made for him. But it's like, to me, sports is all about greatness, and longevity is secondary to greatness. Mm. And so if you're talking about, like, greatest Raptor, it's like, it's the guy that won the championship for them. Like, Kyle Lowry was a massive choker in the postseason. He had a couple games where he always had to defend him. Like, what about Game 7 against Miami? He was like, yeah, he had a game or two, but for the most part, he was a pretty disappointing playoff player.
Yeah.
And him and DeRozan as a tandem never really translated it to the postseason.
That was a tough era.
And, like, even the championship run started with Lowry, what was it?
0 points.
Zero points.
It was a donut.
Against the Magic.
It was a donut.
And I'm telling you, to this very day, the Raptors media will twist you into believing a different narrative about Lowry in the postseason. Like, if you go through the games and you watch the Raptors championship run without being in the moment,
right,
I'm telling you, Kyle Lowry was not the second most important player on the Raptors run. It was Marc Gasol. It was Kawhi Leonard. Then it was Marc Gasol. And there were there were so many games. I actually think Lowry over Siakam. This is the thing, man. Siakam was a train wreck in the Philly series. Like,
100%.
Holy crap.
100%. Like, but he also had those stretches where, like, he was the only guy who gave any sort of juice when Kawhi wasn't playing through a couple rounds.
I will say this, is that we build these mythologies up a little bit, right? Like, you know, Siakam had 27 against Draymond in game one. It's like, Draymond barely defended him in that game. Like, I think I counted like 6 points in that game where he scored it actually against Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the positional matchup, but you talk about stuff. It's like, all right, fine, whatever. But that's the other part of this, is if you go through the postseason, you're like, who was the Raptors' second most important player in this game? You know, game, whatever. It's like, Kawhi, almost every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you usually go like, Siakam, or it was Gasol, or it was, you know, Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Lowry for some. Obviously, it was Lowry for some. But it just, Lowry was not, I hate doing this because it's just like, it makes me feel bad. Because we all have to kind of take the omerta of just protecting Kyle Lowry's legacy here. Because he is an important Toronto Raptor, there's no doubt about it. But if 100%. I'm saying the greatest one ever, it's Kawhi because he won a championship here. Mm. And then Kyle Lowry because he was the greatest, like, with the longevity and success mix. And I think he just identified with the city well.
That's
like
a big part of it, like Philly, identity and culture-wise.
His,
you know,
Philly attitude with the culture of the Raptors being overlooked was like a beautiful blend.
It was such a good pairing.
Beautiful, beautiful blend. Mm-hmm. Plus, he found himself, he hit his potential here. It was just great. I love Kyle Lowry.
I also love Kyle Lowry. This was sounding slightly anti-Kyle. It is very much not. We love Kyle Lowry here.
Yes.
I have a number three Kyle Lowry player tee. I love Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
We're pro Kyle Lowry here.
But if I was doing three statues, they would be Kawhi, Lowry, and Vince.
Kawhi, Lowry, and Vince.
Yep. I think you could give Vince a statue, even though it was such a horrible departure. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where now the deeper we get into NBA trade requests and player empowerment.
Yeah, it looks...
Looks a little better, even though they got the worst return of anybody and he did quit on the team and blah, blah, blah. They've rewritten the narrative. I thought we went too far with Vince in terms of the celebrating him.
True.
But having a statue, I wouldn't think is bad. And then obviously with the Blue Jays, Rogers Center, people always go like, why is there only a Ted Rogers statue? Like, there should be more statues around him of players. And I go, yes, except for when the Rogers Center is packed and there's a playoff game, where that statue is, like, you can't put a bunch of statues around there and have it not mess with congestion. Like, you get out of games and that's the main funnel point of, like, people are going up to Front Street, yeah, up the stairs there. They're going over, like, down. It's too clunky of an area. Mm-hmm. But would I love it if Toronto had some statues of the baseball players? Absolutely. I just don't really know where you put them around the Rogers Center itself.
That's true. I didn't even think about that part of it. Like, yeah, where you physically actually put them.
It would kind of have to be on Blue Jays way a little bit, but it's just,
it's a little awkward though, because the sidewalk isn't that big, and then there's like the road there. Yeah. You can't put them obviously like on the other side, because then it defeats the purpose.
That's what I mean. So they got to figure out where they would put them, but it would be cool. The weird one is that you couldn't have a Robbie Alomar statue anymore. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So a bat flip statue would be
games,
cool.
The Jays, you know, arguably greatest player. You're like, never mind that.
Can't do that.
Never mind him for a statue.
Push that request to the side.
So it's like, yeah, you could have a bat flip one. But it's also kind of weird to have a statue for a guy that hit a home run that didn't result in a World Series, and not have a guy that hit the home run that did result in a World Series.
True. You'd have like a Joe Carter one.
Yeah, of course
you
have Joe Carter.
Who else?
No, Joe Carter would be the first one that would go up. If you had statues of Toronto athletes, you would have for sure a statue of Roy Halladay.
100%.
Yeah.
A statue, although Roy not going into the Hall as a Blue Jay. It's tough anyway, but whatever. You'd still probably do it. You'd have Steve. And you'd have to have Joe Carter, even though it's more of a, that's the thing too, is like Joe Carter and Bautista. Bautista is like a great Blue Jay. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Right. But yeah, I think like he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
No,
he's not. So
level of excellence.
That's, of course he is. But I'm just saying it's a little weird to put statues up of guys who are not Hall of Fame caliber players. Is like that's where it starts to get tricky with the Blue Jays, is that two of the guys that had incredible moments for them are not Hall of Famers.
Like, do you earn a statue from a special moment, or do you count in the whole career type thing? Like, where's the line there?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a tough one to do. Whereas, like, but Kawhi is like, he won you a championship. That's the same with the Joe Carter one. Like, you can have that. Yeah. It's like, nope, you can immortalize this
Kawhi
in some way.
Kawhi had the third highest scoring playoff run in NBA history.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely do it.
He definitely deserves that.
But no, like, obviously we need more statues. Like, clearly. Like, there would be great. It's a cool tradition. I love when guys are immortalized through sports, and it just adds to, I think, any sporting culture to have it. Yeah. Is there anybody I missed? Mackie?
Off the top of my head, no. I think we hit on most of them. What about the Leafs?
Well, yeah, no, but like the Leafs do.
Cujo, right? But
no, Cujo's never.
I think Chris Bosch was the only other one that came to mind, but like he wasn't here long enough to win anything. No. So no doubt.
No.
Shout out Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch would get screwed over in the statue. He would get like a Cristiano Ronaldo style thing where they would like mess it up and make him not look good. Yeah.
His face is all
like a raptor.
Yeah. But
TJ Ford 0%. With the long shorts.
Like Cujo not here.
TJ Ford's a good one.
Cujo not here long enough, and also the way he left the Leafs, like, no shot. No way, buddy. And again, right now, not a Hall of Famer, so no shot. Leafs, no, you're an original 16.
It's tough asking about, like, your current Leafs, too, considering the situation we're all in.
You can't say current,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it's just, not yet, obviously.
What were you saying, Maggie?
Rolling with Amir Johnson.
I loved Amir Johnson.
I like how...
Hey, what if...
All right, this conversation's done now.
Quickly,
we've hit TJ
I don't know
Ford
enough... TJ Ford. I don't know enough about TFC, who would be like the one TFC
Javinko.
Guy.
Yeah, Javinko for sure.
Sebastian
Javinko.
Yeah.
It would go Javinko as the number one guy, and then probably Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore.
Yeah, okay, so...
I would have Altidore over Bradley, but yeah. Javinko would be, I think, the only surefire one.
I don't know, man. Bradley came in and was like a part of like the big change. And it had like real long longevity here as a player.
Yeah, he's been here for a very long time.
You're crapping on Michael Bradley. That's rude.
I'm not crapping on Bradley. I just would have Altidore above.
Like
that's
the only... sounds like you are. Jose Altidore would always play like a couple of games and then be hurt.
He was hurt a lot. That's
like
true.
Injury, man.
Javinko's the only surefire one.
No, Javinko Atomic Ant would be the best. And it would be so great because you'd go stand by the statue just like I did in that picture and look like a giant. So sick.
I got a picture with him too.
God, I should put that. I got to put that picture of me in my, you know, dating profiles.
Yeah,
or it's just like, the girls are like, how tall are you? You're 6'8"? I'm like, yeah.
And you show up and...
Yeah, no, I love that photo of me, Jovinko. Anyways, all right, let's do one more thing. What do we got?
Liars Who Lie.
So, oh, yeah, let's definitely do that.
Yeah, so there's a survey from PlayStar. They surveyed 1,306 people about lying and people's tendencies and stuff like that from a number of states.
Uh-huh.
And Per the results, 13% of millennials, so people born between 81 and 96, admitted to lying at least once a day. Gen Z and Gen X only came in at 5%, and baby boomers came in at the lowest at 2%. So, JD, your generation is among the highest liars, according to this survey.
Okay, I just need to say, first of all, that that's completely accurate. I definitely lie once a day. Like, there's no,
at least, no doubt
about it. But all I would say, too, though, is that this isn't even a survey about who lies the most. This is a survey of who is the most honest, and that is millennials.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
all
they're
these people
may lie.
Yeah,
I think the baby boomers saying that they like none of them lie, that is absolute garbage. No,
my big takeaway from this is Gen Z's lying about how much they lie. 100%.
So my number one. Exactly. So let me power rank the generations. Clearly, you know, our grandparents' era, greatest generation,
yes.
Unquestionably.
Yeah. Not even close.
Dominates the rest of the field.
Not
like,
even close.
It's actually embarrassing what the rest of us have done with it.
Yeah.
It really is.
No, you're right.
It really is. It really, really is. No
you're
question.
So right.
You know what I say? They set the bar too high.
No,
we were
way
never going to live up to that.
But they made it too cushy for the boomers.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
And the boomers rot, okay? Like, boomers, oh, my God. You guys, I know you guys get the most offensive. They hate the term boomers, where they're like, don't call us. It's like, you guys. Rot.
My parents are in this new adorable era where they just admit they're like, wow, we really screwed it up for you guys. And I'm like, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thanks for at least admitting
that.
At least you're self-aware.
The boomers are by far the most self-indulgent, like selfish generation by a million miles. Like it's not even close. Gen Z, then I think Gen Z and boomers, though, like at least the boomers aren't, they're only personally sensitive to attacks about them. Mm. You guys are sensitive about everything.
I hate it.
You know, like a boomer, it's never their fault for anything. Like it's never, you know, like they are the kings and queens of like guilt and living in excess and being handed things, like no doubt about it. And getting things and then feeling as though they earn them in a different way that like they are like their parents. And so it's like, no, you're the worst. Like boomers, I'm telling you, you're horrific. But
damn.
Oh yeah, no man. But Gen Z still, like, you guys are the worst.
Vast majority of my generation is so
like
soft.
I sit there and watch Euphoria and I'm like mad the whole time. I'm like, oh, dude, guys.
Dude. Euphoria, like
I just sit there watching Euphoria.
The amount of
so pissed off.
The amount of like edits and videos I see from Euphoria about like it being like inspirational or whatever. I'm
that's
like,
what I mean.
This
you guys
me
think
sick.
Yeah, I know, like that's it.
This makes me sick.
Yeah. No. Oh god.
What happened to shame?
So
what happened to shame?
That's it. I don't know. So yeah, Gen Z, boomers, you're both awful. And that's it. It's like you guys
we suck.
And you lie. And so the sweetheart millennials, the second best generation, the only ones kind of holding it down.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Do you got any Gen X thoughts? We've skipped over Gen X.
Gen X is fine.
Yeah, I feel like we're just middle of the road.
Gen X is kind of like, you guys are just like around.
Yeah.
They were like, you guys
good
remember?
Job by you.
Yeah, they
my parents.
Yeah, Gen X was kind of like, we liked REM to Korn. And I was like, right on.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Good stuff.
Cool, no, dude. Gen X was pretty chill. Like, I think Gen X is all right, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. If you're Gen X, I feel like, you know, you never had kids, you got like two dogs, and you just like travel around with your boyfriend. And it's just like, I'm cool. I'm cool with Gen X.
You guys are chilling, Gen X.
Yeah, Gen X, you're all right by me. You're with us in the millennial crowd. But boomers?
Why we went right back?
I can't help it. It's just, think about,
it's like a twitch.
Right now, if you're a millennial, think about your parents or aunts or uncles or anybody that you've ever met or like bosses who are boomers or whatever. And just like think about their attitude when it's something that's their fault or like something that you call them out on. Mm. Like I will say, this is sort of the good thing about, I would say, millennial culture is like, it's very much, it's like a little overly self-aware at times. But whereas I think like Gen Z or is a little too much like unapologetic for everything they are, where we're overly apologetic a little bit. But I do think that that leads to a little bit more of awareness about, you know, your fellow person and kind of how they're feeling. And then a little bit more ownership of like the mistakes you make and wanting to be like improving.
Yeah.
Self-improvement is like a big thing. Definitely a bit crippling with the anxiety stuff. I think that a lot of people in our age
group
feel.
For sure.
But nah, I think in general, it's easier to tap in and talk to somebody who is a millennial about a serious thing or call them out on something and get it like a resolution than it is the other, except for Gen X. Gen X, I.
Yeah. We're going right back. Gen X?
I just thinking about that. Awesome. Man, what's the Limp Bizkit song where it's like Generation X, Generation
K? Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's cool. Yeah, so Fred Durst, Generation X, pretty cool. Yeah.
It is funny also.
You don't
part
think
of
Fred
this.
Durst is cool? You're not cool. You know?
Rocking those huge Osiris
dude,
shoes.
Dude, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those are tough.
I'm waiting so cool. for skate shoes to come back, by the way, like the huge ones.
Yeah, no,
the Chad Muskies with, yeah, no. with the weed pocket and
those are back in the day.
Sick.
Those are sick. I like how Simon's like, when are skate shoes come back? I'm like tucking my feet into the chair. I'm wearing the Nike. I always wear Nike skates.
Janoskis are sweet,
yeah, yeah,
though.
But it's just like,
I know, those are
I know
awesome.
But that's it. It's just like, I wear these, like, I love this model of shoe.
They're great. I'm talking about the huge ones.
No, I know.
The massive, it's just, like, DC huge ones.
You can't. You never wear that. It's just like hugely baggy shorts and those.
I mean, baggy pants are back.
Yeah. Baggy pants are back?
Baggy pants are back.
Yeah, but it's
kind of
like.
They kind of are.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, but I do not wear baggy pants. I can't do that.
I was actually talking to a friend about this yesterday, mm-hmm. like a female friend of mine, where I went, you know, this kind of sucks because I'm now officially aging out of wearing just, like, all I ever want to wear is hoodies and tees. Like, that's how I feel comfortable. I don't like wearing other clothes, but, like, you know, I can see, like, 40, we're not there, but it's like, it's around, you know, like.
Don't think about it.
It's in a place where it's like, oh yeah,
I'm closer to 40 than 30.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like,
same.
It's like, what?
just making a joke. Simon said that, and I was like, same. And then he gave me a look, and I'm not going to talk anymore.
I'm going to sound smash Gen Z, little idiot. He's like, you
classic
guys,
Gen Z.
You know what? Another thing about Gen Z, not funny at all.
No, we're not.
Humor that I've ever seen come from
just
you guys.
Bringing
I'm like,
old
hell
humor
yeah.
back. That's all it is.
Old guy fashion thing, just to piggyback on what you were, I'm assuming,
like,
going to say.
Well, it's just like, I don't want to wear, I'm never going to wear suits.
Yeah.
You know, like and of course, like, everyone looks bomb in a suit. And if I had a stylist, if I was a millionaire, I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, give me all the suits and I'll rock some cool jackets and blazers and all that. I don't feel comfortable. I always feel like a fraud when I'm doing that. I'm like, I'm going in and talk about sports.
Your photo on Sportsnet is you in the suit.
Ooh, nice.
And I'd do
slick.
Anything to get rid of that photo.
Really?
Yeah. That photo was
it's slick.
That photo was from like a one-off photo shoot. It sucked too because I actually, when that one happened, it was a backup because we did a photo shoot where I wanted to just wear regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Which I ended up doing for the morning show. You get like one or two, you get like one photo shoot every 2 years here. So I do that one, and then they're like, nah, you're too dressed down. We're going to need you to dress up in a suit. I was like, I look like an idiot in a suit. Like,
it's so funny seeing you in the suit, though.
I have a boy face. I have a boy face, and so when I wear a suit, it looks like I'm, you know, what's that movie where the kid blank check? Where it's like, I'm that. It's like, how did you get your money, son? Like, did your parents dress you for school? It's like, did you tie your own tie? I got a boy face. It just doesn't.
It's so funny every time you were on like Kipper and Born or something like that. Like, that photo pops up. I see you every day. You do not dress like that. And like, you in the suit pops up.
Sucks.
And I'm like,
sucks.
That's gold.
But I'm trying to figure out like what that the bridge is, you know? Like, because I'm not wearing polos always. Like, it's just, you know, golf shirt. No, God, no, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's that getting that next. That next phase of dressing into that era, just like, I don't want to go full dad, you know? Like, I'm not ready for that.
No, and I was saying to someone recently, because we were actually talking about how baggy jeans are back in, like, some 2000s.
You can't do that if you're old, though.
Well, so here's the thing. I was like, you know what? I'm at the age where, like, I'm just now going to dress the same until I'm dead. Like, I'm not going to get into whatever the new fashion is. I'm going to wear the same cut of pants and like t-shirts and, until I'm dead and gone.
Bro, if you showed up in baggy jeans, I would be
cargo, like,
you all day.
Cargo baggy like pants. I'm like, yeah, absolutely not.
Pull your pants up. Do you remember? I got hit with that. That's another boomer thing. You guys were so mad about our pants being baggy.
Curious.
I get it. No,
at
that,
all times.
You know what? Boomers, I was harsh on you. That was your best take.
Oh, yeah.
We should have pulled our pants up. Yeah. Our butts were out, and it was not a good look. It was a bad look for us to be always hanging out with our big Joe boxers hanging out. Yeah. Like, that was bad.
I'm assuming this happens to you, too. Like, pictures of you in high school pop up, and you're just like, oh, my God, I look like an idiot.
I had some bad looks.
I looked so stupid.
I had
like a big ginger fro and like, oh, God,
it's
awful.
That's tough.
Bad looks. I had long bleached hair. Dude, I got a lip piercing at one point down the middle where I was like, this is cool.
Sick photo.
No, so bad.
Yeah, you should have got two, like, the, what is it, the Disturbed guy?
No,
like,
I didn't have, yeah.
Get down with the sickness!
No, I couldn't do it. I did have the one. I thought it was badass. And then I had to tape it for sports every single time. And I was like, all right, this has to go. This is just, it's so stupid. I tape on my face. Yeah, it was like right dumb. Because I couldn't take it out. It heals over so quickly, your lip.
Yeah.
So I'd tape it a lot. Anyway, it was just dumb. Idiotic looks. No, I had like long bleached blonde hair, and then I would let the bleach grow out and have roots, and it would just be dead hair hanging. I was like, this is sick. Why don't I have a girlfriend?
Like, why did you not text me back?
Yeah. Why are none of the girls fawning over me and my dead hair?
My dead hair.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Oh. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. All right. Cool. Let's podcast this sucker. Subscribe. Leave 5 stars. And yeah, hit me up anytime. Twitter and Instagram @JD Bunkus, especially if you want to play Botano.